Welcome to another episode of Jim Hinckley's America, 5 Minutes with Jim, an adventure through time. On this week's episode, I'm sharing the story of a nearly forgotten visionary. Glenn Curtis was possessed with an insatiable curiosity that led him to pioneer motorcycle development, make a fortune in real estate development, transform automotive design, and make incalculable aeronautical contributions. Before we begin this morning's odyssey, I want to say thank you to the Boys of the Road Crew for our theme song. Need some road trip inspiration? Check out some of their great road trip inspiring tunes at roadcrew66.com.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
As with many young men during the closing years of the 19th century, Curtis was an avid bicyclist. In 1900, Curtis had an opportunity to take over the bicycle repair business where he was employed. He quickly became the region's main distributor of Cleveland, Columbia, National, Raycycle, and Stearns bicycles. Then, using parts sourced from his suppliers, under the Hercules trade name, he soon diversified his business by adding bicycle manufacturing. On the heels of this success, he expanded operations and opened two more Curtis bicycle stores, one in Bath and another in Corning, New York. In May of 1901, Curtis visited the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo and saw a demonstration of the E.R. Thomas Autobuy motorcycle. This inspired him to begin building motorcycles using mail-order E.R. Thomas raw block castings and a carburetor of his design. Frustrated with the mechanical shortcomings of the Thomas engines, Curtis began designing and manufacturing prototype engines. Then, after securing investors, he founded the G.H. Curtis Manufacturing Company and began to manufacture his own line of motorcycles and motorcycle engines under the Hercules brand name. In January 1903, Curtis exhibited his engine and motorcycle at the New York Automobile Show. Orders proved anemic. Undaunted, he simply added sales of his motorcycles to dealerships for Orient, Buckboard, Frere, Miller, and Ford that he had partnered in. And he began promoting the motorcycles through participation in racing events. On May 30, 1903, he piloted a Hercules V-twin-equipped motorcycle to victory in a 10-mile race and set a 1-mile speed record in the process. The well-publicized victory alerted a small California firm to the fact that Curtis was using their registered trademark. Under threat of lawsuit, Curtis abandoned use of the Hercules name, but he continued promoting and developing a brand of motorcycle under his name. His success in Ormond Beach, Florida, now Daytona Beach, where he made successive attempts at breaking the world land speed record, garnered a great deal of publicity. Soon, his V-twin was the most popular motorcycle in the country. In 1906, Curtis began expanding his interest. That was the year that he offered to supply the Wright brothers with Curtis engines. After being rebuffed, Curtis focused almost entirely on development of V-twin engines and their modifications for various applications. By the end of 1906, he had developed and built his first V8 engine, which consisted of 4 Curtis V-twins mounted back-to-back. The monstrous V8 was fitted to a purpose-built Curtis motorcycle frame. And in January of 1907, Curtis piloted the world's first V8-equipped motorcycle to a speed of 136 miles per hour at Ormond Beach, Florida. He became the fastest man on Earth. Remarkably, Curtis's two-wheeled record stood until 1930. In June of 1907, Curtis began supplying engines to the Baldwin Dirigible Company. In October, he joined the Aerial Experiment Association, a group founded by Alexander Graham Bell. In 1908, the AEA began assembling some experimental aircraft in Hammondsport, New York, and on March 12, one of its members, Casey Baldwin, piloted the Curtiss-powered Red Wing for 319 feet over the frozen surface of Keokuk Lake. In May, Curtiss piloted the White Wing on a 1,000-foot flight, the first American aircraft to be equipped with ailerons for navigation. On July 4th, Curtiss flew the Junebug for a distance of 5,000 feet, and he earned the Scientific American Magazine Trophy, which required an unassisted takeoff and straight flight of at least 1 kilometer. This, my friends, is only the opening chapter of the Curtiss story. Join me on the next episode of 5 Minutes with Jim for more tales about this amazing visionary. Folks, it's about time to wrap it up for this week. Before I go, I want to give a shout out to a few of our sponsors. The Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico, a near perfect blending of the past and present, a living time capsule where the traveler is assured a restful night's sleep after an adventuresome day on Route 66. And My Marketing Designs and the Bee, advertising and content marketing amplified. Thank you for joining us this morning. Until we meet again, mi amigos, adios. See you next week for another episode of 5 Minutes with Jim.
Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.